Today, looking into the jaws of a recession, or worse. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Remembering that September and October typically are the worst months for equity markets, it was no surprise to see significant market volatility across the week. Given the trends in oil prices higher, with Brent up 8.5% for the week to $104.47, while LNG prices in Europe rose another 10.5%, and the 10-year US Treasury yield was up to 4.972% and knocking on that rather critical 5% level. All sounds a bit inflationary. Yesterday, I discussed in detail the recent events in the Middle East, which will likely further restrict energy supplies and lift inflation higher or worse. Meantime, on Tuesday night, a senior employee at Anthropic admitted he believed that there was a greater than 10% chance that artificial superintelligence, or ASI, could kill all humans in the next decade, and warned that his AI company did not have a plan to ensure ASI was aligned, meaning it did no harm. Predictions for when ASI might be reached vary from several years to more than a decade. Evan Hubinger, alignment science lead at Anthropic, posted the comment after Jacob Coxon, a 28-year-old researcher at the San Francisco company and previously at OpenAI, resigned, claiming neither company was acting responsibly. He said they were gambling with our lives. Coxon said the risks at Anthropic were well understood, but they were locked into a race to get there first. In a glimmer of hope, he added that he was optimistic about the potential for coordination between US labs on pacing their progress in the race. Markets, though, continue to back the massive AI bet, which has been the main supporting force keeping markets afloat despite the widening Middle East conflicts, rising energy prices and inflation, and a rising risk of a recession. For the week, the global MSCI index fell 0.91%, though rose slightly on Friday, while the All Asia ex Japan index fell 1.58% and the Stoxx 600 in Europe fell 1.66%, though again bouncing a little on late Friday trade. The ASX 200 in Australia fell 0.9% on Friday, with 7 of the 11 sectors in the red, as the share market dropped 2.9% for the week. Gold futures fell across the week, down 1.93%, while Bitcoin was down 3.27%, so there was no hiding place there either. That said, US stocks did end the week on a positive note as oil retreated a little and bond yields steadied, despite the US August consumer price data clearing a path for the Federal Reserve to increase interest rates next week, with a probability of a 25 basis point hike up to 86.5%, as investors appear ready to accept a rate increase in a credibility-driven move by the US Central Bank and Chairman Kevin Walsh, who of course has been tasked by President Donald Trump to cut rates and fast. The S&P 500 was 0.9% higher at the close in New York, with communications services pacing gains in 9 of 11 industry sectors. Utilities and healthcare each slipped, though. It was down 1.82% over the past month. The Dow was up on Friday, but down for the month by 2.35%, while the NASDAQ was again up on Friday, but down 1.75% over the past month, in a sign of significant uncertainty. Also driving sentiment was a drop in the price of oil, which had reached $110 a barrel the previous day. There was a report that 6 Gulf states could meet with Iran early next week on reopening the Strait of Hormuz, but we'll see about that. Meanwhile, short-term US Treasury yields rose, with the 2-year at 4.630% after a key consumer inflation report came in line to slightly hotter than expected, boosting Federal Reserve rate hike expectations. For the week, major US stock indices closed deep in negative territory, weighed down by an ongoing sell-off in the bond market, rising rate hike bets and spiking oil prices, further exacerbating inflationary worries and putting pressure on Americans at the pump, with US diesel prices surpassing $6 a gallon for the first time ever on Thursday. The US Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that headline and core CPI ticked up 0.4% month over month and 0.3% month over month in August, compared to consensus estimates of 0.4% and 0.2% respectively, and accelerated from July's figure of 0.1% and 0.2% on a year-on-year basis. Headline CPI increased 3.4% in August, unchanged from July, but core CPI moderated to 2.4% from 2.5%. Both numbers matched consensus estimates. Coming into August, CPI hawkish expectations had been slowly gathering steam, beginning in July, with three federal Fed presidents dissenting with the FOMC's decision to hold interest rates steady. Fed Chair Kevin Walsh then delivered a decidedly hawkish speech at the annual Jackson Hole conference at the end of August, observing that underlying inflation trends had not improved. For years, inflation has persistently run above the Fed's 2% annual target, and interest rate increases are the primary tool the central bank has historically deployed to try to tamp down prices. Meanwhile, other economic indicators further tip the odds towards monetary policy tightening, namely blockbuster non-farm payrolls last week and Thursday's August producer price index, the PPI report, which showed an acceleration in headline readings. The US bond market in particular has reflected the steady rise in hawkish expectations, undergoing a rout, especially in longer-term maturities, since roughly the Fed's July rate decision. The subsequent surge in yields took the US 30-year to a nearly two-decade high and sparked a move by the Treasury Department to increase the buyback size of longer-term instruments. Treasury's surprise intervention, though, has not had its intended effect, with yields going higher still. Looking at Friday's active stocks, Oracle gave up stellar gains from earlier and eventually ended 1.8% lower. The software and cloud company clocked stronger than expected quarterly earnings and hiked its annual guidance. The company also posted a smaller than expected cash burn for the quarter, spurring some hopes that its heavy investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure were now generating returns without undermining its balance sheet. The strong showing helped quell investor concerns over stretched AI-linked spending, which has helped drag down Oracle stock by around 20% so far in 2026. Among other earnings-related moves, Adobe added 1.4% to the design software giant, clocked strong quarterly earnings but posted slightly disappointing guidance. Investors head into next week's Federal Reserve meeting, bracing for the central bank to raise interest rates, a move that would threaten a US stock market rally already showing some vulnerability to rising bond yields. Higher interest rates could undercut stock performance in several ways, including by raising borrowing costs for consumers and companies, and rate hikes that translate into higher treasury yields could create more investment competition from bonds and pressure equity valuations. The volatility index was down 11.21% to 1584. In currencies, the dollar index was up 0.08% to 99.1, while the euro US dollar was unchanged, and the US dollar Japanese yen fell 0.48% to 153.52. European stocks edged higher on Friday as oil prices retreated from a five-month peak after a week in which accelerating inflation expectations and elevated bond yields dented sentiment and pushed the market towards its biggest weekly loss in 2 months. The pan-European Stoxx 600 was up 0.5% on Friday, but logged the steepest weekly fall since early July. Among European sectors, telecommunications and banks led gains, up 1.5% each. The benchmark closed at a two-month low on Thursday after the European Central Bank raised interest rates and warned that inflation could remain higher for longer as energy prices surged amid the prolonged Middle East conflict. President Christine Lagarde and the Governing Council raised the benchmark deposit rate facility by 25 basis points to 2.5%. That's the highest level since April 2025, shattering earlier midsummer expectations that central bankers would remain on hold calling the move now a no-brainer. The policy shift underlines growing alarm in Frankfurt that soaring raw material input costs will spill over into underlying core prices. Eurozone headline CPI accelerated to 3.3% in August on a 14.3% surge in energy components. France's CAC 40 jumped 0.8%, recovering after recent weakness as investors weighed a deteriorating growth outlook and concerns over the country's public finances. France's Minister Roland Luxeur said France was at a risk of missing its deficit reduction target this year after the government cut its growth forecast, adding to pressure on the fiscal outlook. DAX in Germany rose 0.8%, while the German 10-year bond rose to 3.5163%, while the UK's FTSE advanced 0.4%, with London exchanges supported by heavy commodity weightings, as stronger-than-expected UK GDP data, up 0.4% in July, outweighed a sharp escalation in the Middle East, where Houthi forces seized full control of Yemen's Red Sea coastline. Annual growth hit 1.6%, the fastest since February 2025. The ONS said ongoing strength in the services sector was only partially offset by falls in both production and construction, adding that artificial intelligence appeared to be lifting software development. ING's James Smith cautioned the figures overstated underlying momentum. Roughly half of June's rise came from IT, just 7% of the economy, and that the UK GDP had a well-worn seasonal habit of running hot in the first half of the year and cooling in the second. Actually, ING expects the Bank of England to hold rates at 3.75% next Thursday, arguing energy-driven inflation hasn't yet broadened into second-round effects, with food inflation down to 1.3% from 3.6% in January, though a November hike is not impossible. But the UK 10-year gilt rose to a significant 5.3474%, and some others are betting on a rate rise. In stocks, Flattech's Derego shares fell 5% a day after the German Online Brokers Supervisory Board chairman resigned with immediate effect, citing differences over the company's strategic direction. And French animal health group Viticonol surged 16% after reporting a 22% increase in first half net profit and a swing to strong cash generation. Alstom rose 2.2% after the French rail manufacturer announced that it had secured contracts valued at more than €1.2 billion with TransPennine Express. Berkeley Group warned that weak buyer sentiment and political uncertainty was weighing on housing demand, while calling for urgent stamp duty and regulatory reforms to boost transactions and home building in the UK. But Barclays flagged rising stagflation risks in Europe, citing a strengthened negative correlation between equities and oil, rising gas prices ahead of winter, combined with relatively tight storage levels, are adding to European inflation concerns. This isn't a repeat of 2022 yet, the strategist said, noting that elevated energy costs aren't unique to Europe and that EU corporates have made progress diversifying their energy mix. But the team also pointed to a recovery in German activity, supported by fiscal stimulus as a cushion for regional demand. Asian stocks fell on Friday as surging oil prices and rising bond yields kept investors in a risk-off mood, although US stock futures turned higher and pockets of strength in AI-related shares offered some relief. Chip stocks retreated, though, as oil shocks overwhelmed AI optimism. The sell-off swept across Asia's technology-heavy markets, with a broader risk-off tone overshadowing the week's earlier gains in some chip stocks. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index fell, while South Korea's KOSPI fell 1.8%, though remained about 2.5% higher for the week. Semiconductor stocks were among the biggest casualties. South Korea's SK Hynix fell 3.4%, that remained about 12.7% higher for the week, and Samsung Electronics lost 3.9% and was still roughly 5.3% higher over the same period. Japan's Nikkei 225 dropped 1.9% on Friday and was down 2.6% for the week. The declines came despite continued optimism over AI-related spending, underscoring how quickly a shift in the broader macro backdrop can overshadow the sector's growth narrative. Kioxia tumbled 7.8% and TTK fell 3.1%. The Bank of Japan is expected to hike interest rates next week, perhaps by 25 basis points, and could also signal faster future hikes amid risks of an inflationary overshoot. A 25 basis point hike would bring the Bank of Japan's benchmark to 1.25% levels last seen back in 1995. It would mark the central bank's second such rate hike this year, after a 25 basis point raise in June. The Japan 10-year bond was up to 2.987%. Consumer price index inflation rose steadily in recent months, with the core print in sight of the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. Producer price index data accelerated sharply to a 3.5-year high in August, according to data released on Friday, as rising energy prices and a weaker yen ramped up business costs, which are likely to be passed on to Japanese consumers. China's Shanghai Composite fell over 1.9%, while Hong Kong technology stocks also weakened, with Alibaba down 0.9%, Meituan down 1.1%, and Tencent down 0.2%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng slipped 0.5%. Tencent Bank Shanghai Enflame Technology surged about 200% in its Shanghai debut, though, after raising 6.2 billion yuan, or about $912 million, underscoring intense investment demand for domestic AI chip alternatives to NVIDIA. Elsewhere, India's Nifty 50 fell 0.34%, with the benchmark down again over 2% this week. At first glance, Asian stocks do not look expensive on forward PE ratios because strong earnings have lifted estimates, but Bernstein says this masks several vulnerabilities. Earnings expectations are at record levels in South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, and Thailand, raising the risk that earnings growth could peak just as borrowing costs rise. Book value valuations tell a less comfortable story. South Korea and Taiwan remain at record price to book multiples, while Japan and Australia trade above their 2021 peaks. Bernstein also said the gap between earnings yields and bond yields, effectively the compensation investors receive for taking equity risk over bonds, is close to record lows in Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Australia. The AI trade has made the rate question even more important. Bernstein says Asian technology stocks are trading at about 23.6 times forward earnings, around their five-year average, making them appear reasonably valued on that measure. But price-to-sales ratios remain at record highs, leaving the sector vulnerable if bond yields rise further. Inflation adds another layer of risk. Bernstein noted that inflation is already above official targets in South Korea, India, Australia, and the Philippines, while it expects inflation to rise this year in several other Asian economies. Australian shares fell for a fourth consecutive session after oil spiked, global bond yields soared, and the probability of interest rate increased by the US Federal Reserve grew. The ASX 200 was at 8,741.2, down 4.87% for the month. The Australian government's three-year bond yield, which reflects where the cash rate will be on average over the next 3 years, surged to 5.04%, while the 10-year bond yield, which filters through into the economy via mortgage and business loans, hit 5.386% on Friday, tracking rises in the US. Bond markets imply a 78% chance the Reserve Bank of Australia will lift the cash rate this month from 4.35 to 4.6%. That's the highest level since November 2011. And Citi told clients on Friday it now expected two more rate rises this year. On the ASX, the resources sector was hit hard after the price of copper fell more than 5% following Reuters reports that the White House had not yet decided on refined metal tariffs due to concerns over domestic manufacturing costs. BHP tumbled 4.1% to $60.87, while Rio Tinto fell 3.5% to $168.30, and Fortescue fell 3% to $16.67. Pure play copper stocks fell even further, with Sandfire Resources down 5.4% to $21.26, and Capstone Copper fell 8.1% to $14.60. Gold miners also tumbled as the price of bullion tracked for a third weekly decline, and it fell nearly 2% as surging oil prices and the latest US inflation data bolstered the case for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates next week. Northern Star Resources fell 2% to $20.08, and Evolution Mining fell 2.4% to $14. Technology stocks also weighed on the ASX amid fears of higher interest rates in Australia. WiseTech Global, which traded ex-dividend on Friday, fell 3.8% to $32.69, while NextDC fell 2% to $12.06, and Appen fell 3.5% to 97 cents. Financials were one of the few bright spots in the local exchange, with National Australia Bank up 2.7% to $38.72, as Goldman Sachs increased their rating on the bank from sell to neutral. ANZ rose 1.7% to $37.27 and Westpac 1.1% to $34.22. Commonwealth Bank edged up 0.7% to $154.19 and Macquarie was at $245.25. In corporate news, GQG shares fell 9.5% to $1.10 after the asset manager reported that funds under management dropped by $7.2 billion in August. Alkane Resources fell 1.6% to $1.86 amid news that Chief Executive Nick Earner had sold $3.8 million worth of shares in the gold and antimony producer. And Stockland fell 3.1% to $4.09 as company boss Tarun Gupta sold nearly 3.8 million shares in the property developer. That's a signal about home prices if you wanted one. And the Aussie was at 71.7 US cents. And 53.02 UK pence. Bitcoin was slightly higher on Friday, helped by a boost to risk sentiment from oil prices snapping multi-day winning streaks. However, gains were capped and the crypto headed for a weekly loss amid a sharp uptick in Federal Reserve rate expectations. The world's largest cryptocurrency rose 0.3% on Friday to $77.320, though it was down more than 3% for the week, and that snapped a three-week winning streak. Most altcoins were also on track for a mixed week. World number two, crypto Ether, added 3.4% the week, but XRP shed 3%. Now, ahead, a September hike will probably be followed by another in December. Fed Chairman Kevin Walsh used his big speech at Jackson Hole last month to talk up his inflation-fighting credentials and now has to follow through. Higher bond yields mean higher borrowing costs for companies, but also will force investors to discount the value of profits they think companies will make in the future, which mechanically reduces the value of that company today and hence the share price. Locally, talk of recession on higher rates is growing. Markets have certainly been supported by the artificial intelligence boom, of course, and there is no sign that a few interest rate rises will have any specific impact on the trillions being spent on AI infrastructure, except that now more companies are borrowing and will have to pay higher rates. But for now then, stocks can happily look past hot inflation data, rising bond yields, and talk about multiple interest rate rises and recession, because none of it really has much impact on the AI rocket ship, at least for now. But for the last few months, investors, regulators and politicians have been totally blasé about the situation in Iran. The global energy sector appears to have adapted. The early panic of the first weeks of the war have faded and financial markets have continued to price in a relatively quick resolution. We'll see about that. As Bank of America's Michael Harnett notes, a record US diesel price is a key real economy pressure point. And it won't just put pressure on prices across the economy and GDP growth that is already weak outside AI. Harnett has argued for months that political pressure over affordability will spill over during the midterm elections. And if the Democrats win both houses, then there will be a 10% correction in markets as anti-AI policies are announced in the name of cheaper energy and water prices. And there's also the danger that energy prices keep rising and the pain of this keeps spreading. If oil and diesel prices keep rising and pressure on central banks keep building, then even the market's AI force field won't shield investors forever. The week ahead will be dominated by central banks with policy meetings in the US, the UK and Japan. And the RBA comes later in September, of course, with a high probability of a hike now firmly on the table. So the key question is, how long can markets ignore all of this while holding fast to their belief in AI? But then wait, does artificial superintelligence really pose a risk greater than nuclear weapons? Is there a significant chance of a Chernobyl-sized catastrophe? Might there even be a greater than 10% chance that AI could kill all humans in the next decade? These warnings were issued this week about the potential impact of a technology that most people still think of as a more talkative search engine. So we sure live in uncertain times, and the question is, are markets priced right? Well, who knows? We could well be facing into a recession as rates are ratcheted higher. But the question of artificial superintelligence and the future of humanity needs to be taken seriously too. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.